Hopefully you have a pen or something just to write with, and have some blanks in our handout tonight. So I don't do that every week, but tonight, if you want to just jot down some notes, I always leave that note section there so that you can write down some notes as we're going through this, going through our Bible studies. Amen. If you want to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 5, and this is a familiar story. We're not going to read through the entirety of the story, but I just want to just bring out just the very first part here. Mark chapter 5, verse number 25. Brother Josh actually just preached on this past Sunday. He did a phenomenal job, amen, preaching on Sunday. Amen. Thank you for the word that you brought to the church. Amen. Let's turn to Mark chapter 5, verse 25. It says that a certain woman who had an issue of blood 12 years. Amen. But a certain woman who had an issue. Is there anybody in here who has an issue? Maybe you got some issues in your life. You have something in your life. Amen. The, issue, it could be defined a whole myriad of ways, but I want to define this tonight and look at an issue as something that is a condition, or it's an attitude, or maybe it's just a circumstance, not something that is long-standing, not something that is forever, but it's a circumstance, it's a condition, it's an attitude that robs us of the abundant life that Jesus has secured for us. Amen. Jesus has died for us, and we have a standing in the kingdom of God. Amen. But sometimes we just allow some issues to come in our life that robs us of all that God has for us. And I want to talk about that, the issue with issues. The issue that I have with issues and some things that we have in life. And maybe it's not even just the issue that I have with it, but the issue that God has with it. I think that He doesn't want us to live with bound by issues and just have a bunch of issues in our life. I believe that God has an issue with His children living with issues in life. Amen. Things that would rob us of the full life that we have with God. You see, this woman in this story, this woman who came and it said that she had an issue. She was somebody, her issue was something that was of a physical nature, and she had a sickness that she had been dealing with. And she had been separated and alone day after day and month after month, year after year. And she, according to the law, according as she was a Jew, she would not have been allowed to go in and worship with anybody else with the issue that she had, this issue of blood. She couldn't have gone in and been around other people as they would go and worship the Lord. She wasn't allowed to be around other people. So here she is, sequestered off from everybody else. She's alone, and she doesn't have this physical contact with another person. And here she is in this circumstance, not just for a week or a month, but 12 long years she was dealing with this issue. See, her very presence caused some who knew her condition to recoil about the fact of what she was dealing with. They didn't want to be contaminated by her and what she was dealing with. And so for 12 long years, she was hemorrhaging from her body. It was leaving her weak and unclean. And she had this blood that was just causing her to eventually become become sick. She would go to the doctors and her strength was leaving her after long years of dealing with this, and the doctors could never find a solution to her problem. Here she is, and I'm sure that she heard some whispers from her neighbors or close friends, even people around her that would look at her and saw the state that she was in, and I'm sure that they could hear her cries at night. Maybe she would try to fall to, or after, maybe it was after coming home from a doctor and another report of a doctor who thought maybe that there was some hope in that, but there was just false hope over and over and over. And I'm sure that, you know, that for her to go to all these doctors throughout all these years, it tells of her going from doctor to doctor, that at one time she probably had a lot of money. Now in her life, here she is, she has no money. She has run out of options. She's come to a point where the only thing that I can do is to come to a man who I know could heal me, who I've heard that he's healed somebody else. I don't have any other options. And so she turned to Jesus, and she went in and she approached Jesus from behind. And here she is in this state where she has been all alone for all this time. You see, regardless of the specific issue that you may have that may be different from somebody else, all of us experience some limitations in our walk in the kingdom of God. All of us experience some different things that come up in our life, just some little issues. Maybe it's just a circumstance. Maybe we've lost a job, or maybe it's just a hurdle that you can't seem to get over in your walk with God. And maybe it's just an attitude that you have. Now, you know it's affecting your walk with God. You know it's affecting your relationship with somebody else. And it's just an attitude that you have. Or maybe it's a condition. Maybe it is a physical issue that you have in your life that is hindering maybe your faith. It's an issue. And it robs you of this abundant life that you can have, that I believe that Jesus wants us to live a full life, that Jesus wants us to be able to walk in full faith and walk in full confidence, knowing that He has died for us and then He has given us a life, and not just life, but life more abundant. I believe that there are issues in life that we can get over, and that we are being robbed of this because sometimes we become complacent, or sometimes we become numb to the fact that, well, I think I'm just going to have to live my life with issues. Maybe it's been 12 long years. Maybe it's been even longer than that. But we have an issue. Amen. Just an attitude. Maybe it's just something that will hinder us. It's something that we just can't get past. But we need to, I believe, get past this. So I want to talk tonight about how do issues affect my life? How do issues affect our life? We're going to look into the Word of God here tonight and look at different ways that issues or things will affect us. And so the first thing is that issues are secret. Issues are secret. You see, issues are those uniquely personal things that we try to kind of push out of the way. We don't necessarily want other people to know about them. We don't want somebody else to see the flaw that we have. We don't want somebody else to know that we have so much doubt about even who we are. We don't want somebody else to know about the kind of sin or things that we may do that nobody else knows about. So we want to keep this a secret. It says in Luke chapter 12, verse 2, it says that there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. There's nothing hid that shall not be known. That while we may keep it a secret, the fact is it is there, and that God knows about it. And the issue with the issue is that it's keeping us separate from God. And we think we can keep it a secret from everybody else, but we're not keeping it a secret from God. He said, you may be able to keep it hidden to everybody else. There in Luke chapter 12, it says, you may be able to cover it, but nothing that is covered will not be, or that all things that are covered right now, they're eventually going to be revealed. Nothing that's hid is not going to be known, because God can see it all. And in the end, all of it's going to come to light, and even at the judgment day, every issue will come to light. So the first thing is that issues, we try to keep them secret, but the reality is that God knows all about them. So why not talk to Him about it? Why not speak to Him about it and let Him help us? And then the second thing is that issues cause separation. Issues cause separation. You see, the woman who we opened this with, she was this woman who she was separated from people. She was separated from God. She couldn't come into the place of worship with the issue that she had. She was unclean. She was considered somebody who was not allowed to step foot in the tabernacle, in the temple. She was not allowed to step foot in that place because she had this issue of blood. And so in the same way, our issues will keep us separated from God. Any kind of sin will keep a separation between us and God. Now, why is that? Why is that? It says in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2, it says, "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Now, this was a prophecy, or this was a warning to the people of Israel who had turned their back on God for a long time. They had lived in sin. They had lived with issues in their life. They had lived with things that was causing God to eventually say, "I am sick of this, and I'm going to turn my back on you so that you can get this figured out in your life, so that you can finally figure out that the way that you're living is not the best way to live. The way that you're living, if I continue to condone that, then you're just going to continue living in sin." But eventually God says, "I can't bless what I hate. I can't bless the things that I hate." And for him to bless the things that he hates, all he's doing is he's perpetuating this thing within us that if he continues to bless us while we're living with a bunch of issues in our life, while we're living with a bunch of sin or things in our life, then we can see, or it looks as though we may as well just continue living that way. But if we want to live in the fullness and the abundant life that Jesus has for us, then there needs to be a cutoff between us and there, and we need to have the issue with the issues in our life. It doesn't need to be just God having an issue with the issues, but we need to look at them, and we hate sin just as much as God hates sin. See, God, he hates sin. He says that I am holy. He said, "Be ye holy as I am holy." Get these issues in your life figured out. Get these things, get them out of your life so that I can come to you and that we can commune together so that we can have a perfect relationship, me and you. I want to be able to spend time. I want you to be able to spend time in my presence, is what God is saying to us as his children. You know, we can't get into the real presence of God. You can't really get into a presence of God until you get on your knees and you take care of some issues in your life. That's why when you enter into prayer, first thing that we ought to do, actually the first thing that I do is I praise God. Anytime that I come into prayer, I just give God praise. It doesn't matter what the circumstance is. It doesn't matter what's going on. I just want him to know that he's worthy. Amen. The next thing I do is I take care of any kind of issues in my life. This is there's a plan that has been laid out for us that it's in a couple different areas. Scripture told to us in different ways, but you can look at the plan that Jesus gave as far as the Lord's Prayer. You can look at the tabernacle as a pattern for prayer. And in all of these, they're leading us into one of the first things that we need to do is to ask for forgiveness of our sins, because we can't really get into the presence of God until we've taken care of the issues. Until we've taken care of some sin. And we need to say, "God, maybe there's something in me that I don't even recognize it as sin, but Lord, if there's anything in me, get it out of me, because I want to get into your presence. God, I want you to hear what my heart cry is. And more so than that, God, I want to hear what your heart cry is. God, I want to know what you have for my life. And as long as I'm asking for that, Lord, I need to make sure that I've taken care of the issues before I can really hear your heartbeat. Before I can really get into the presence of God, I need to take care of the issues in my life." Amen. Because issues are going to cause separation between us and God. Now, I've been been reading a book. I've been studying through this with Brother Nathaniel, and it's called Killing Kryptonite, and it's written by John Bevere, and it's called Killing Kryptonite. It's using kryptonite, that mythical substance that comes from planet Krypton, the same place that Superman came from. And how, you know, we as Christians sometimes are comfortable with kryptonite in our life. We're comfortable with sin in our life. We're comfortable. We become comfortable with it just sitting there. And yet, God says, you can't be comfortable with that in you, because that's the very thing that's making you weak. These issues that are in your life, they're making you weak. And so we can't become comfortable with that, because that is causing us to get further and further away from God. The more issues, the more things that we have in our life, we are just becoming more separated from God, whether we recognize it or not. You keep it in there. You keep a hold of that kryptonite. Amen. It's eventually going to kill you, just as it could have done this fictional world to Superman. Amen. The next thing, let's continue. The issues always flow from a source. Issues always flow from a source. In fact, the very word that we, from which we get issues, the Greek word for that, and I go to the Greek because that is where what our New Testament was written in. The Greek word for that is rusis, R-H-U-S-I-S. I didn't write that in there. You may want to write that down, R-H-U-S-I-S. That word means a flowing. A flowing. It was an issue that is flowing. It comes from something. It comes from a source. You see, issues in our life, maybe I don't want to just talk about sin, the things that some kind of a hidden sin, but issues such as maybe fear, maybe you have anger, maybe you have bitterness. All of these things are flowing from some kind of a source. There's some kind of a source that these things are flowing from. They came from something. And so what is that source? Well, it says in James chapter 1, verse 13, it says, let no man say when he is tempted that I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God is not going to tempt you with evil. Now, there will be some circumstances in your life that God will allow you to go through trials, but the trials will not lead you to sin. God isn't going to tempt you with sin. It says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now, here's kind of my issue with what a lot of people say, or many people, Christians will say, is that I did something bad because the devil tempted me to do it. You know, the majority of the time, it's not the devil or some demon coming and tempting you with something. It's of your own flesh. And that's the source. And that's something that you are always going to have, your flesh. It doesn't matter how long you live for God. You're never going to escape your flesh until you die or he comes back for you. As long as you are here on this earth, you're always going to have your flesh, and there's always going to be that battle between the flesh and the spirit. So the issues are going to come when we keep feeding the flesh, feeding the things that satisfy our flesh. As long as you're feeding those things, you sit in front of a TV and you allow Hollywood to be the source from which your flesh just keeps on being fed from that. Or maybe it's you just sit there and you stew on something that maybe somebody wronged you, and you sit there and it just makes you feel good to go and to call your friend and then I just need a vent right now, and you start venting, but really what you're doing is you're just continue to feeding this flesh that's going to cause some bitterness in your life. And maybe where you really needed to vent was to the Lord. and you needed to get down on your knees in prayer. You need to take it up with Him and say, God, I feel some bitterness. I feel like I was wronged in this situation. And maybe you were, but God can help you through that a whole lot better than a friend can. And He can help you through some of these emotions. And so instead of just feeding our flesh and feeding the things that that would cause us to maybe feel better, let's take things to the Lord. Let's take things to God and not allow the source to continue to cause these issues in our life. But let's take this back to God. And as long as you're feeding the Spirit, it says in James, is never going to tempt you with evil. It's never going to bring the issues in your life. Man, I don't think I completed this verse. It says in verse 14, it says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. Then sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. That there is a source and there is a flow. That if we continue to tap into the source, if we continue to tap in to what's feeding our flesh, then we are just going down this flow, going down the river to the place of death. And it's talking about a spiritual death. It's not just talking about a physical death here, but it is a spiritual death. That as long as you continue following after your spirit, and maybe it's your emotions, and you allow your emotions to guide and then dictate every decision that you make. Can't trust your emotions. Can't always trust the things about how we feel. But we need to just trust in what the Word of God says. And we need to trust what our spirit is leading us to. And how do we do that? You do it in prayer. You do it on your knees. So my issue with issues, my issue with this is that we need to find a place on our knees from which we are getting the source. We're tapping into the spirit for the source. We're not tapping into the flesh for the source. Amen. Let's continue. Number four. Issues result in character traits that limit us. The result of these, you allow these issues to continue in you, they're going to result in some character traits inside of you that will limit you. It says, and I have this here in the New Living Translation. You could read it in King James and probably get understand it as well, but we'll have it here. It says, I have discovered this principle of life. Sometimes when Paul writes, he writes in very confusing ways. So it says here, Romans chapter 7, verse 21. I've discovered this principle of life, that when what I want to do, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. There's like something in me that feels like every time I want to do something right, inevitably here I am and I'm doing something that's wrong. This kind of goes back to that last thing, connects with that as well, the source from which is, as long as we're leaning on the flesh, then we're inevitably going to do what's wrong. Amen. But it continues. It says, I love God's law with all my heart. I do love God. I do love His law and what He says. He says, I love it with all my heart. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. And this power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. He's talking about the flesh. He says, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? You know, as long as we continue in the issues that we have, as long as we keep feeding them and we allow them to harbor them, we allow them to live in us, we're going to be this man that Paul is describing here in verse 24, where he says, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who's going to free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Now, there was an answer to that. Who will free me? Who will free you is God and being led of the Spirit. and being tapped into the Spirit and tapped into the right source, that is what will lead you, because there is power in that to overcome it. But as long as you allow the issues to control your life, you're going to have some character traits in that that are going to limit us. They're going to limit you. You're going to have some things, some circumstances that, maybe they don't become issues until they really they appear repeatedly in your life. And that's the difference between a flat tire and then refusing to do some maintenance in your life or maintenance on your vehicle. You need to do maintenance on your life too. You need to do some maintenance where we continue to go back and we continue to dig into the Word of God and allow this to build us up and to make sure that our character is continuing to line up to the Word of God here. I want to make sure that my character is lining up to that. And if it's not, then there's something wrong and I am harboring some issues in my life. I might have some things that I'm allowing to stay in there that I need to take care of, because I believe that our character will reveal the true self, the true person that we are. And our character is not just who we are in these four walls, this building. Our character is, who are you at work? Who are you in your home? Who are you in your bedroom? Who are you in your car? Who are you when nobody else is around? That is the true test of character, is who are you when nobody else can see you? As long as we allow some issues to continue in our life, we continue to harbor them, we continue to just live life and think that, I'm 90% good. 90% good with God. You know, that's going to get me to heaven, right? As long as I'm 90% good. Well, I think that God, truthfully, let's just throw the whole, is that going to get me to heaven? Let's just throw that out of there. Let's just think about, is that really what God wants for your life? Right here on earth. Right now. I'm 90% good. That's not what God wants for your life. God wants you to live an abundant life. He wants you to live a life that is full of peace and full of goodness. And He wants you to live completely sold out to Him. Let's be a sold out people. Not just trying to live 90% good. Not just trying to live, the majority of my life is doing good things. No, He said, I want you to be sold out to me. Completely sold out. Number 5. Issues trigger strong emotions. Issues trigger strong emotions. The strongest emotion that people who have issues experience is an emotion of fear. When you're continuing to live with things in your life that you know it's getting in the way between you and your walk with God, you have this fear of rejection. You might have a fear of being exposed. You might have this fear that you're continuing to wonder, is somebody going to find out who I really am? Somebody going to find out about this? Is somebody going to find out about the issues that I have in my life that I haven't dealt with? And, I don't really have the strength to deal with them, but I don't also have fear. I also have fear that somebody's going to find out about them. Issues are going to trigger some strong emotions in your life. It's not just fear. It may be some shame that comes along with them, or guilt. You may have some anger, frustration, or hopelessness, some despair. There's all kinds of strong emotions. I believe that even suicidal tendencies can come with the fact of harboring different issues in our life, things that we think, it's okay, I can live with this. This isn't something that is really all that bad. But here's the issue with issues, is that eventually they become so strong in us that we get to a desperate place, or we get to a place where you would do something that you thought that you would never do. Because you get to a point where our next thing is that issues result in bondage. And you get to that point where you feel like you are in bondage. You feel like you're in bondage. It says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear has torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. That God is saying, I don't want you to live in fear. I don't want you to live in bondage. But I have called you out of that so that you can live a full life. Don't live under the bondage of the issues that you are harboring in your life. But you can be free from all of it. You can live a life where you lay your head down to rest at night. And you just are giving glory to God. You're not wondering, you know, what's going to happen if he comes back tonight. We need to have an issue with the issues in our life. We need to have an issue with the issues. Amen. Number 7 is that issues often become excuses. Issues often become excuses. See, I believe that there's a lot of talented people that are headed for greatness. And instead, they found themselves detoured onto side roads that were full of doubt, full of hurt. They had a bunch of excuses that came up because something didn't go perfectly. Something didn't happen exactly how they wanted. Because issues in our life can grow unchecked. These people, they begin to think of themselves as victims, and this pushes them further and further away from their potential. And I've seen it in the church where people have a victim mentality, and they feel like, you know, the truth is, they were the ones who got themselves into a mess. They allowed it to continue. And then they became victims because they didn't want to own it. They didn't want to own the fact that, man, I'm the one who I knew I wasn't supposed to go down that road. And then all the blame, it goes on somebody else. And we have all these excuses that if we allow issues to come up in our life, we continue to have them. You're going to go down a road that you don't want to take full responsibility for it. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, it says, throw off your old sinful nature in your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, I want you to let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. That there are no excuses. If you have been born again, if you have the Spirit of God in your life, then we don't have the excuse that I was born this way, or this is my natural tendency. You know what? Your natural tendency is your old man. So as long as you continue to go down that road, what he's saying here is that you're just picking up that old self and you're just putting that back on. He said, keep that old self off. Don't take up those excuses. You have a new man. You've been renewed. Your spirit is renewed. God has given you a new nature. You've been created to be like God, which is truly righteous and holy. Man, we don't need to have the excuses about going through life and the fact that I was created to, you know, with this certain tendency. I was created to be angry. I was, you know, heard people say, sorry, it's just how I deal with things. That's just how, anger. Maybe somebody with an anger issue. That's just how I was raised. Well, how you were raised is not maybe always a biblical way that you were raised. And you know what? You can be born again. You don't have to go back to all those, the old way of life. That you can become a new creature and get rid of the excuses. Man, I believe that God can help us to rise above. God can help us to rise above any issue in our life, whether it be sin, whether it be something that is just holding you back from the fullness of what God has called you to, that he can help us rise above it. Amen. Our last thing here, last number 8, is that issues are part of the enemy's strategy. Issues are part of the enemy's strategy. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You know, he's been studying people for a long time. He's been studying you for a long time. So they did with Samson. You know, Delilah was there and just kind of studying him, trying to figure out what's the little thing that I could trip him up. Finally got to his weakness. Man, and Satan, he'll study you and he'll watch you, and part of his strategy is more so, I believe, more so than coming at you with some great big attack, trying to attack your faith in some big way. He would rather just do a whole bunch of little tiny things that are causing issues in our life, that all of a sudden we start feeling a little bit of separation from God, or we start feeling, you know, is this really worth it, living for God? Because here we are, and we've allowed these issues to pile up in our life, and that's part of the strategy of him. And I want you to not be ignorant of Satan's devices. Don't be ignorant of what he's trying to do, because if we just allow these issues to continue in our life, then he has gotten the advantage over you. Let's, as a church, let's just make an agreement tonight that I'm going to have an issue with it if God has an issue with it. Let's get this taken care of. Amen. You know, so far this is kind of a little bit of a downer type of a thing. You know, what are we doing here if we have all these issues? How do we get over this? Well, I want to give you just a little bit of hope. I'm going to give you a little bit of hope of how can I find healing for these issues. Maybe it's you and you're like, I know, I recognize I have issues in my life. How do I overcome them? I've tried. How do I figure this out? How do I get this stuff out of my life? Well, there's only one way that you can do it. It's truly only one way that we can overcome the issues in our life. That is through Jesus Christ. I believe that there is true freedom in Jesus Christ. That when he died on the cross, that it says that he before he died, he took some stripes on his back. And it says that by his stripes you are healed. I believe that there are some sicknesses and there are some issues, some physical things that we have and we've been dealing with. That I believe that he took some stripes on his back so that those issues could be dealt with. So that there was an answer for them. And I believe that you can pray in full confidence, knowing that he took those stripes for you so that you could have freedom from whatever physical ailment you have. I believe that he was bruised for our iniquities. He was bruised for our iniquities. Now, what are iniquities? Those are things that are not necessarily sin, but they are things that would beset you, things that would slow you down, things that would get in the way between you and your walk with God. And he was bruised for them. He said, you don't have to be bound by the things that are getting in between you and me. Because I took them and I was bruised so that you could be free from every issue in your life. It says in John chapter 8, verse 36, that if the Son therefore shall make you free, then you shall be free indeed. Or in other words, you shall be completely free. It's not just a temporary freedom, but you can have complete freedom. If you want to come to him and truly turn your life over to God, then there's nothing that God cannot set you free from. There's no addiction. There's no trouble that God cannot give you complete freedom from it. He can set you free from sin. He can set you free from any issue in your life. 2 Corinthians, it says that he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect in weakness. This is God talking. It's not me talking or Paul talking here. But he said that God told me that my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. That his strength took over when I got weak. That when I got weak and I started feeling like I have some issues bubbling up here, that His strength took over. And I'm thankful for that, because it says, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In other words, I'm okay with the fact sometimes that God has to come in and bail me out, because I am thankful for the love of God and for the power of God. Man, so let's look at three different ways that we can find healing for our issues. We're going to go back to our story, back to this woman who had an issue of blood. We're not going to read through the story, but I'll tell you about it. The first thing that she had to do was exhaust every resource. She exhausted every resource. Now, does that mean that I have to go through try to figure out a solution to every one of my problems before I turn to God? No. But you have to get to a point where you have exhausted everything to the fact that you say, you know what? I don't have any other way to go. The only thing that's truly going to take care of this is by getting on my knees and taking it to the King. If you have a second option, a third option, fourth option, that if just in case God isn't able to take care of this, then you haven't exhausted your resources. You haven't exhausted every opportunity that you have for this issue to be taken care of. But when you understand that it's Jesus is the one, and He's the first answer and the last answer, He's the only answer to your issue, then you've exhausted every other problem, every other way that you could go. Then that is a point that I want to be at, where I'm just like that woman who came and she went from doctor to doctor to doctor, and she exhausted everything that she knew what to do. But she finally realized, you know what? There's one man who does have the answer. There's one man that I can go to. And when I came to Him, she may have come up and said, all I can get to is the hem of His garment. But as long as I can get to Him and touch Him, then I know that there is power in Him. And I'm going to exhaust everything else. Push everything else to the side. And I'm going to fight my way to get to Jesus. And sometimes it's a fight for you to get on your knees. But get on your knees in the hard times. Sometimes it's a fight for you to get in a place where you get in a position where you have exhausted everything, and you got to a place where you understand that Jesus is the only answer. But you need to get to that place if you really want to get your issues taken care of. Amen. The next thing is to expose. You know, our issues, they need to be brought out into the light in order to be healed. They're not going to just miraculously vanish on their own. In fact, they may be pushed under or denied, but they are always going to reappear to Jesus at some point at the end. Remember, we need to remember that we need to confront these things. We need to expose them, bring them up. Exposure is this thing that we fear most, but it also heals the most. This is one of Satan's biggest strategies, is to get you to hide things. Get you to hide your issues. When you can get somebody who is an accountability partner, somebody who is there, who can be with you and help you through some things, when first thing, the most important one to expose them to is to God. What I'm talking about is you get down and you pray specifically for the issues that you're dealing with. Don't sugarcoat it. Talk to God. It's like our spiritual wounds that we have, and we're bringing them up. And God, I've been dealing with this for a long time. God, and I've tried every way that I know how to figure this out on my own. God, I need You right now to take care of this issue in my life. God, I've been dealing with anger God, I've been dealing with bitterness. I've been dealing with pornography. I've been dealing with maybe it's a sickness in your life. God, I've been dealing with this, and I really haven't turned this over to you. Come on, expose it. Bring it out to the light. Bring it up to Him. Say, God, I need you right now to know that I've exhausted everything, and I'm exposing this right now, and I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to tell somebody that I am turning this over to you. Come on, I believe that the best healing can come when we begin to expose this, our needs and our issues to God. I believe in specific prayers. I believe in prayers that are specific and they're targeted at certain things. Whether it be you praying for somebody else or you even just praying for yourself, pray specifically. Don't just pray in a bunch of generalities. Pray specifically. God will answer specific prayers. Amen. Our third thing here, we're coming to a close. Third thing is to expect. You exhaust, you expose, and then you expect. You know, I just so happen to believe that the woman with the issue of blood expected to be healed. I don't think she would have been healed if she didn't expect to be healed that day. When Jesus said, "Virtue has come out of me because somebody touched me." And they said, all his disciples turned to him and said, "There's a bunch of people touching you. What do you mean, Jesus?" He said, "No, somebody touched me expecting. Somebody touched me with faith. Somebody touched me believing that they would receive healing. And I felt some virtue come out of me right now." When you come to him and you expect it to be taken care of, all of a sudden, something changes in the equation. It's not just a matter of I'm at the end of my road and I'm at a place where I don't have anywhere else to turn. And God, you know, if you can do this, then Lord, I would really like it. It would be really good because I don't know what to do now. No. You come to him and you say, "God, I know that you have all the power, that you are able to take care of this mentality that I even have, that I continue to go back to. You know, these dark places that I just continue to visit. God, I need you just to wipe that out, God. I need you to help me to get over this thing that I just keep going to, these issues that I have in my life, Lord. And I need you to take care of these issues and expect him to do it. Expect him to do it." Amen. See, the issue with our issues is that the answer to them all, to every single one, is just an arm's length away. You know, maybe you have to fight your way through a crowd, but it's close. And so often we don't do that. We sit here comfortably and we're okay with the issues. Because really, to everybody else, I look okay. Everybody else, I look fine. Everybody else, they don't know about some of these issues that I have. I mean, but if we have an issue, just like God has an issue, if you could hate sin just as much as he hates sin, if you could understand that what God has for you is so much greater than what you believe is out there for you, that God has blessings for your life, that God has a path for you to go down that could go and it could impact somebody else's life. It could lead them to a life of abundance. You could go and have an impact on somebody else that you never even imagined. But we need to understand that I need to take care of the issues that are in my life. When I do that, amen, I believe that there is something special for you. Amen. If we could all stand in this place, I want to end just in the time of prayer. Jesus, hallelujah. Amen. Let's lift up our hands in this place. Lord, I come to you, Lord. I want my eyes, let's just close our eyes. God, there's everybody in here. Has something. We got something, Lord, that's maybe coming, God, in between my walk with you, God, and just who, God, I'm trying to find my way. God, and I have an issue, Lord. Maybe it's not the same issues I faced 5 years ago or 10 years ago or even a year ago. But God, I may still have something that I want to try to work out right now. God, and I pray, Lord, that whether how big or how small it is, Lord, help us to continue to search our heart for any issues, God, anything in us that would separate us from our walk with you. God, continue, Lord, to seek out, Lord, and not be comfortable, Lord, just living with some issues in our life, God, living bound by fear or bound by bitterness, God, bound by anything, Lord, that would cause us to be separated from you. But Lord, let us, God, hate the things that you hate, love the things that you love. God, let us, Lord Jesus, be in a place, God, where you, God, are taking care of it all, Lord. And if it's, Lord, needed tonight, God, that we could expose it to you. God, that we could expect you to take care of it. Lord, I pray right now, Jesus, that you would just help us, Lord, to walk in purity, God. Walk in fullness, God, of life, what you have for us. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.